To help us survive spiritually in today's world, we need to understand how God speaks to us, as well as bring to light how the adversary speaks to us. The more we recognize the way both of these influences show up in our lives, the easier it is to discern and not be fooled. After publishing my book, Not Today, Satan, I felt like there was more to do to help my friends recognize Satan in their own lives. So here's a podcast, Not This Week, Satan, where we explore weekly ideas, experiences, and scriptures to be more aware of the adversary's influence, to help you gain greater desire, confidence, and strength to turn away from the adversary and towards Jesus. It's just me again today, but before we start, I want to tell you some behind-the-scenes information from last week's episode. If you didn't listen to that one, I had Travis with me, and it was awesome. But it took about 3 times as long to record, mostly because of me. We would just be getting in a groove, and I'd be in the middle of a sentence and then just freeze. My shoulders would shrink, and my mind would go blank, and I would say just something dumb. And our microphones were recording on different tracks. So afterwards, every time I messed up or did something silly like that, Travis would have to go back and cut that part while also keeping his audio track in line with mine. And basically, it was a pretty big pain in the butt for him. So that's my explanation on why at the end of that episode, I joked about Travis being the first and maybe last guest to the podcast, and why he joked that there would be a lot of editing to do. But shout out to him. He is incredibly patient and supportive. And if you're enjoying any of these episodes, a whole lot of credit goes to Travis for it actually happening. So that's my only item of business before we get started. And today we're going to talk about being children of God. Kids who grow up in the church learn the song practically from birth, "I am a child of God." The very first line in the first Preach My Gospel lesson that missionaries are responsible to teach, God is our heavenly Father, we are His children. Ancient prophets taught that we are God's children. In the New Testament, Paul taught, "For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold." Modern prophets still teach it. President Packer said, "No matter what race or people you represent, the pedigree of your spirit can be written on a single line. You are a child of God." The first line of the Articles of Faith, those fundamental basic beliefs we hold, is we believe in God, the Eternal Father. I think I've made my point here. There is so much emphasis and repetition of teaching this truth within our church because we need to understand it, and we can't allow ourselves to forget it. There is power in knowing who we really are, in knowing the divinity of our spirit and the potential that we have. I've had the young women's theme, and especially the first line of it, on my mind this past week. I am a beloved daughter of heavenly parents with a divine nature and eternal destiny. It's been on my mind because last week I got to go to a leadership meeting for youth leaders. The General Young Men's President, Stephen J. Lund, was one of the main speakers, and one point he made stood out to me and hasn't left my mind since. President Lund had us all recite the Young Women and the Aaronic Priesthood Quorum themes, neither of which did I have memorized at all. After we finished, though, he asked the question, "Are these themes worth memorizing?" And he said that when he is up at night and his brain is going crazy and he can't calm down or relax enough to fall asleep, he recites the youth theme. He said it grounds him, it centers him, it reminds him of what is most important, that he is a son of God. So I took it on as a challenge, and I've been working on memorizing the Young Women theme. And as I have, I've realized that it's had the same effect on me. It centers my heart and my mind on who I really am. Through memorizing that theme, I'm learning that as we remember who we are, beloved children of heavenly parents, that our perspective and our priorities shift. Things like trying to become more like Christ, seeking personal revelation, ministering to others, and standing as a witness of God all become more important. And as they do, our lives are filled with more and more light and hope and love and all of the things that bring us real joy. Obviously, Satan is going to fight against that. He will use distraction and discouragement and flat out lies to try and pull you away from the truth of who you are, to deceive you into forgetting that you are a child of God and that you have heavenly parents who love you, support you, mourn with you, cheer for you, and listen to you. Every day, we face more and more of a push against that truth. Satan absolutely does not want you to know or remember or tell others about the truth that we are children of God. We are divine beings. Maybe you've heard this principle so many times that it has lost a little meaning for you. And maybe that is the work of the adversary. In the Book of Mormon, 2 Nephi chapter 28 has a big list of how Satan works. In verse 21, the scripture says something about the devil pacifying and lulling away hearts. I actually have a podcast episode planned around that one line, but I think it's very relevant here. Satan may be affecting you with loud, in-your-face lies about who you are, and he may be shouting that you don't have a loving Heavenly Father and that God will turn his back on you. But if that noisy approach isn't working on you, then maybe he'll help you get so used to hearing those words, "I am a child of God," that they lose their meaning. They never lose their power, but by allowing yourself to be lulled away from believing that truth, lulled away from putting effort into knowing it for yourself, lulled away from caring, you essentially give up your ability to draw on that power. When we have faith in and put effort towards knowing and understanding how individually important we are to Heavenly Father, we unlock something in our spirits. When speaking about the Father, Elder Quinton L. Cook once said, "Understanding how he feels about us gives us the power to love him more purely and fully. Personally feeling the reality, love, and power of that relationship is the source of the deepest and sweetest emotions and desires that can come to a man or woman in mortality. These deep emotions of love can motivate us and give us power in times of difficulty and trial to draw closer to our Father." So it's a fun little circle. When we understand how Heavenly Father feels about us, it gives us power to draw closer to him in our trials rather than turn away. And as we draw on the power to come closer to him, we then receive more power to overcome the trials that brought us to him. Are you seeing why Satan doesn't want you to know this truth? Are you seeing why when you feel lost or lonely or forgotten, why the adversary and his minions jump all over that to try and convince you that no one is there? They will whisper the lies that God has forgotten you, but it's not true. He will never forget his children. He will never turn his back on you. He is always there waiting for you, and you have the responsibility to turn to him and to develop that relationship with him in order to fight off the evil deception that will undoubtedly come your way. One of my favorite parables Jesus taught is called the prodigal son. You've probably heard it, but the short version of the story is, a man had two sons. One rudely asked for his inheritance way earlier than was socially acceptable, but the father gave it to him anyway. Then the son moved away, blew it all, and found himself broke and hungry in the middle of a famine. He made a plan to return home and beg for the chance to be his father's servant. He knew he had messed up big time and didn't feel worthy to be in the family anymore, but he thought his father was a good enough man that he would at least permit the son back into the household as a servant. But the moment the father saw his son coming, the father ran to him, which was another socially unacceptable thing to do at the time. A grown man running was super weird, but the father didn't care. He was stoked that his son was returning to him, so he ran, and he hugged and kissed him and threw a party. He didn't care about the money or the mistakes. He didn't want his son to be his servant. He just wanted him back, and he welcomed him back with open arms and rejoicing. The son thought he knew the character of his father. He thought his dad was good enough to accept him back as an employee. Because of what he knew about his dad, he was able to go home. But his father showed him so much more mercy and compassion than the son could have imagined. It's just like the way we think we know what Heavenly Father is thinking concerning us when we mess up. But his thoughts towards us are always better than we can ever imagine. The adversary and all those who work in his influence will say the opposite. They whisper and plant doubt, false evidence, and harmful assumptions to make you believe you know more than you do, to deceive you into thinking that the character and love of God is not as grand and great and beyond comprehension as it really is. They want you to forget that His love is unconditional, that you will always be His child. If you hear the words that you are a child of God, that you have heavenly parents watching and waiting for you, or that you are an eternal being with a divine destiny, and you don't feel the power in them, go find it. It's there. I know you can find it, because a lot of the time I don't feel it either, and I have to seek it out too. Read the scriptures and look for His character and goodness in them. Pray to your Father and ask for eyes to see His hand in your life, and then actively look for it. And look for the miracles in the smallest of things throughout your days. You'll face lies and distraction and forces of darkness fighting against you as you search for the power in knowing your true identity. But I promise you that in your efforts, you will find it.